This is Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Thursday, June 4, 2026. I'm Rick Bierling in for Joe Bilecki. In local news, the Grand Rapids Public School District is planning to sell 10 buildings they no longer need. As WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us, one organization is ready to turn the former Stocking Elementary into a community hub.
When you look at the history of West Grand, the school has always been a hub. And you look at the school's history, it's always been a hub of information and gathering and celebrating and learning together.
Executive Director of the West Grand Neighborhood Organization, Annette Vandenberg, says Grand Rapids West Side residents near Stocking School want to see it transformed into a community hub. The city's school district is selling the now vacant elementary school.
I think the community wants a decision soon about what's going to happen with the schools that are vacant. And it's really important not to let them sit vacant because they become magnets for bad activity.
West Grand would see Stocking integrate housing, health and wellness supports, workforce pathways, food systems, and collaborative nonprofit space, creating a long-term community asset.
More than 50% of the population that's in those census tracts live in poverty. And so the best way to help with poverty is to teach people how to grow their own food, how to be more self-reliant, how to stretch those dollars and budget them.
Vandenberg hopes residents will attend the next GRPS board meeting at the district's headquarters on Martin Luther King Jr. Street this Monday at 5 p.m., where board members may ask questions and vote on the group's plan. I'm David Limbaugh.
Grand Rapids police say video from Saturday's fatal officer-involved shooting shows the suspect throwing a flaming bottle at police, attempting a carjacking and home invasion, then stabbing a police dog. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
He's throwing these Molotov cocktails at our officers. He's threatening to stab his family. He's threatening to stab us.
Interim Chief Joe Trigg held a media briefing, releasing video of an incident that began when the mother of 46-year-old Eddie Deans Jr. called 911, reporting he was armed with knives and threatening violence. As police arrived, dashcam video shows Deans running out of the home, throwing a Molotov cocktail at officers and spraying their cruiser with lighter fluid. Police say he attempted a carjacking at knife point, then tried to break into a nearby home.
We're trying to contain him and get him in custody as quick as possible so we don't have a situation where he bursts into a home and takes a family hostage.
Officers fired less lethal plastic projectiles, but Deans did not stop.
Once you take flight into the neighborhood armed with knives, it kind of changes the scenario a little bit and puts the public at risk.
Police released a canine. Deans stabbed the dog multiple times before charging officers with a knife. One officer shot Deans several times. He died on scene. That officer is on administrative leave while the Michigan State Police investigate. K-9 Digo is recovering from his injuries and is expected to return to duty. I'm Dee Morrison.
Grand Haven is cracking down on young teenagers accused of racism, vandalism, and theft in downtown businesses. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports a recent target was Murphy Emporium on Washington Avenue, where the owner is black.
In Grand Haven, there's an ugly undercurrent of racism and violence.
At the last Grand Haven City Council meeting, resident Jane Stalker described some of what happened on May 26th when a group of teenage boys went into Murphy Emporium.
Murphy had a group of young teens that came into her store, stole, vandalized, and verbally attacked her with racial slurs.
On a Facebook post, Murphy owner Lico Burgers, who is black, said the teenagers hijacked her portable speaker and amplified the phrase Heil Hitler and the N-word.
We are aware of the incident.
Public Safety Director Nicole Hudson says they know who the teenagers are and they're being dealt with.
We have identified the subjects. We are going to let the criminal justice system work its way out.
Councilman Mike Dora says there have been other incidents.
Groups of youth in our downtown area creating problems in some other facilities as well.
Which Councilman Mike Fritz says is unacceptable.
We're not going to accept this. What happened at Murphy was not Grand Haven.
We have Road Patrol that is well aware of the destruction that is being done downtown. So be on the lookout for extra patrol. We'll do whatever we can to make sure that everybody is treated here equally in the city of Grand Haven.
I'm Phil Dawson.
A statewide pilot program is breaking down housing barriers for West Michigan residents with intellectual and developmental disabilities. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us how it's creating affordable, independent living space.
Troy-based nonprofit Community Housing Network developed the IDD Housing Access Pilot Program, known as IHAP, addressing longstanding housing barriers faced by many many Michigan residents with intellectual and developmental disabilities, or IDD. The statewide initiative is investing $1.7 million to expand affordable, inclusive, and community-integrated housing opportunities for residents with IDD, giving them more choices, stability, and opportunities to thrive. In Grand Rapids, Genesis Nonprofit Housing Corporation is receiving $500,000 supporting Heron Woods IDD housing. The 48-unit development includes 8 IHAP-supported units serving residents at or below 30% of area median income. In Muskegon, Samaritas is receiving $200,000 for its affordable living Frebble Place. The 46-unit rental development includes 2 IHAP-supported units for households at or below 30% of AMI. I'm David Limbaugh.
West Michigan is getting a new bike park in Holland, a hub that will connect downtown to existing trail networks across the region. WGVU's Dee Morrison explains.
Construction begins this month on a 600-foot asphalt pump track designed as the central piece in the Holland Bike Park. Recreation manager Kemri Hilton says it links riders to neighborhoods, the waterfront, and the new ice park.
It's super connected to not only downtown Holland, but also the Macatawa Greenway and a lot of other existing bike infrastructure, so people can really utilize this space without having to stray too far from what already exists.
Nearly 12,000 residents live within a mile of the park, which is free to use and designed for all ages and skill levels, with inclusive features for adaptive riders.
We're really excited to get things rolling, to just celebrate this milestone, which is getting started on phase one of what we hope will be multiple phases of the Holland Bike Park.
Plans call for skills training areas, gathering space with pavilion, tables, drinking fountain, and a bike repair station. The project is funded through donations, grants, and the city's general fund. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up on Focus West Michigan, WGVU's Joe Bilecki speaks with Lily Hogan, the site administrator of jamsforall.com, a website designed to promote Michigan's live music scene and information about venue accessibility. In state news, a state house proposal to amend the state constitution to potentially allow the governor to select board members for Michigan's Big Three universities went down in defeat last night in the state house. Rick Pluta reports.
Dysfunction on the party-nominated elected boards is the impetus behind the drive to make these gubernatorial appointments. But the proposal to put that constitutional amendment on the ballot was sprung suddenly by the House GOP leadership. It didn't get even close to the necessary two-thirds supermajority. House Speaker Matt Hall says it's not too late to get the question on the November ballot.
And we'll get a better deal. But I really wish it would have happened today so we could keep it alive for August ballot.
The effort to make all university boards gubernatorial appointments subject to Senate approval has been endorsed by Governor Gretchen Whitmer as well as 2 former governors. I'm Rick Pluta at the state capitol.
Advocates and Democratic Michigan lawmakers pushed for more focus on housing affordability and ending homelessness yesterday. Colin Jackson has more.
One proposal involves a tenant's bill of rights that would require 90-day notice for rent increases, among other protections. Democratic State Representative Emily Diebendorf says the state needs to pour resources into housing.
We need to get scrappy and we need to get creative when it comes to housing because the most urgent need right now is to put roofs over heads.
But Republican Representative Joseph Aragona says the state needs a measured approach.
Yeah, I think spending's the key, but you got to spend the right way.
A bipartisan group of lawmakers are looking at policies like tax breaks to lower housing costs. Other proposals, including the Renter's Bill of Rights, will likely face more pushback. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
And Governor Gretchen Whitmer signed a law yesterday that allows Mackinac Island to update its charter to regulate passenger ferries. The new law would allow the island to take authority over ferry fares, baggage handling fees, and parking rates on both sides of the ferry routes. Republican State Senator John DeMoose says it was always intended for Mackinac Island ferries to be treated as a regulated public service.
That was essential to being able to have private ferries because this is a part of our state where 80% of the island is state land. And so the only way you could make it work is if you wanted private ferries instead of a public ferry is that they had to have regulatory oversight.
He says Mackinac Island is also the only municipal government in Michigan that requires state permission to update its charter. And that is state and West Michigan news here on Focus West Michigan from WGVU. I'm Rick Bierlin. Lily Hogan is the site administrator of jamsforall.com. That's Jams with a Z, the number 4, all.com, a website designed to promote Michigan's live music scene and information about venue accessibility. WGVU's Joe Bilecki talked with Lily about the importance of this information for people interested in DIY, indie music, and more.
Jams for All is a website now where you can go and find any shows that are coming up specifically in Michigan and all of the access information that comes along with it. So like whether the building is wheelchair accessible, if there's seating, if there's re-entry, food, alcohol, all sorts of things. And you can filter it by your city so you can find out what's coming up exactly near you. You can search venues, so you can do a lot with the site.
And this is for people who are into indie DIY music stuff, such a fantastic resource. Back in my day when I was a teenager, it was so hard to know where shows were happening, when they were happening, who was going to be playing. You kind of just had to like stumble upon it. And these days, especially in West Michigan, I guess I can't speak for the rest of Michigan, but at least in West Michigan, it feels like there's a lot more people doing music than there was 16 years ago. Do you find that Michigan is kind of just awash right now in local music and people playing around the state?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Michigan is really special when it comes to DIY specifically. We have so many great bands and bookers that work so hard to keep the scene alive. So, and there's so many young, like teenagers, young queer people that are like leading the scene. So I think that Michigan DIY is where it's at for sure.
I see on the website, looking at venues, there's lots of little icons, and there's a key. So, like, you have lots of information about a lot of venues. How are you getting this information?
So some of it is venues' websites. Some of it is me emailing and DMing the venues, bands, trying to get as much information as I can. When it comes to DIY, a lot of the shows are at, like, small venues, you know, locally owned shops, like, you know, skateboard shops, coffee shops, vintage stores, those types of things. And despite there being laws in place that state that those things should be fully disability accessible, that's not always true. So, and when it comes to house shows and stuff like that, that's usually in the basement. So I think that it's just definitely really important for people who do have like higher needs to be able to know what they're getting into and also be able to participate in the scene.
A lot of the music here that I'm seeing is like hardcore punk, emo, metal type stuff.
Yes. Yeah. That is definitely my area of interest, but I do also notice that like hardcore especially can feel less accessible, I guess. So I hope that Jams for All can make it feel a little bit more accessible to people, at least.
Right. I notice on the upcoming shows, you can even filter by pay what you can and or all ages, mask policy. I've noticed on Instagram that's something it seems you care pretty deeply about.
Yeah, so I've always been a huge advocate for wearing a mask, a N95, a KN95, a KF94 in public when you're able, because things like COVID are extremely dangerous and disabling. Long COVID is a very terrible thing to experience that I think that is avoidable by wearing a mask and cleaning the air and making sure to do tests before and after events. I think that part of preserving DIY and preserving the youth that keep it alive is choosing to do things like wear a mask that will protect yourself and the community that that surrounds you. So,
and that website is jams with a Z and then the number 4all.com. If anyone wants to get involved, how can they get involved?
Yeah, so we actually have some submission forms available on the site. So if you have a specific show that you would like to see on the site, or a venue that is either totally missing or maybe you would think it's missing some information, you can scroll down to either the venue page or the shows page, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and submit one of the Google forms, and that's probably the best way to get involved.
And before I let you go, Lily, what's your favorite band in Michigan right now?
Oh, that's such a good question. My favorite band in Michigan right now is probably, I'm going to be biased, my partner's band, In Search of Bastila. They're a metalcore band, and they're going to be releasing an album soon, and I'm very excited.
Awesome. Thank you for talking with me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
WGVU's Joe Bilecki with Lily Hogan from jamsforall.com. And that is Focus West Michigan for Thursday, June 4, 2026. I'm Rick Bierling in for Joe Bilecki. Patrick Center is WGVU's News and Public Affairs Director. And we will see you tomorrow.